Hey guys, and welcome to this week's Come Follow Me for Young Adults lesson. This week covers the prayer offered by Prophet Joseph Smith to dedicate the Kirtland Temple in 1836 and the restoring of the priesthood keys. The doors to the Kirtland Temple weren't supposed to open until 8 o'clock on the morning of March 27, 1836. But the saints who were hoping to attend the dedication services started lining up as early as 7. An overflow location and then a second session were needed to accommodate everyone. And it wasn't just the living who were eager to be present. Multiple witnesses saw angels inside the temple and even on the roof during and after the dedication. It really did seem that the armies of heaven had come to sing and to shout with the Latter-day Saints. Why with the great excitement on both sides of the veil? After centuries, there was a house of the Lord again on the earth. The Lord was fulfilling his promise to endow his saints with power from on high. In Doctrine and Covenants, section 38, verse 32, it states, "Wherefore, for this cause I gave unto you the commandment that ye should go to Ohio, and there I will give unto you my law, and there ye shall be endowed with the power from on high." And this, he declared, was only the beginning of the blessing. In Doctrine and Covenants, section 110, verse 10, it states, "And the fame of this house shall spread to the foreign lands, and this is the beginning of the blessing, which shall be poured out upon the heads of my people. Even so, amen." The era we live in, with accelerated temple work and ordinances available to millions of the living and the dead, had its beginning in Kirtland, when the veil over the earth was beginning to burst. The Lord offers me rich blessings through temple covenants. The Kirtland Temple was different from the temples we know today. There were no altars and no baptismal font, for example, but the blessings described in section 109, the dedicatory prayer for the Kirtland Temple, are also available in the Lord's house today. Review the following verses to find some of these blessings and ponder how they can help strengthen your relationship with Heavenly Father in Jesus Christ. In section 109, verses 5 and 12 through 13, it states, "For thou knowest that we have done this work. Through great tribulation and out of our poverty, we have given our substance to build a house to thy name, that the Son of Man might have a place to manifest himself to his people, that thy glory may rest down upon thy people and upon thy house, which we now dedicate to thee, that it may be sanctified and consecrated to be holy, and that thy holy presence may be continually in this house, and that all people who shall enter upon the threshold of the Lord's house may feel thy power and feel constrained to acknowledge that thou hast sanctified it and that it is thy house, a place of thy holiness." In these verses, we find that in the Lord's house, he can manifest himself to me and that I can feel his power. In section 109, verse 9, 15 through 19, 26, and 78 through 79, it states, "That your incomings may be in the name of the Lord, that your outgoings may be in the name of the Lord, that all your salutations may be in the name of the Lord with uplifted hands unto the Most High, and that they may grow up in thee and receive a fullness of the Holy Ghost and be organized according to thy laws and be prepared to obtain every needful thing, and that this house may be a house of prayer, a house of fasting, a house of faith, a house of glory and of God, even thy house. That all the incomings of thy people into this house may be in the name of the Lord. That all their outgoings from this house may be in the name of the Lord. And that all their salutations may be in the name of the Lord with holy hands uplifted to the Most High. That no combination of wickedness shall have power to rise up and prevail over thy people upon whom thy name shall be put in this house. O hear, O hear, O hear us, O Lord, and answer these petitions and accept the dedication of this house unto thee, the work of our hands which we have built unto thy name, and also this church to put it upon thy name, and help us by the power of thy Spirit that we may mingle our voices with those bright, shining seraphs around thy throne, with acclamations of praise, singing Hosanna to God in the Lamb. These verses list blessings of spiritual protection and guidance, blessings for the house and church, personal and spiritual growth, and living by God's name. In section 109, verses 21 through 23, it states, "And when thy people transgress, any of them, they may be speedily repent and return unto thee, and find favor in the sight, and be restored to the blessings which thou hast ordained to be poured out upon those who shall reverence thee in thy house. And we ask thee, Holy Father, that thy servants may go forth from this house armed with thy power, and that thy name may be upon them, and that thy glory be round about them, and thine angels have charge over them. And from this place they may bear exceedingly great and glorious tidings and truth unto the ends of the earth, that they may know that this is thy work, and that thou hast put forth thy hand to fulfill that which thou hast spoken by the mouths of the prophets concerning the last days." These verses list the importance and blessings of repentance and restoration, divine protection and power, sharing the gospel and testimony, missionary work, and confirmation of prophecy. In section 109, verses 24 through 33 and 42 for 46, it states, "We ask thee, Holy Father, to establish the people that shall worship and honorably hold a name in standing in this thy house to all generations and for eternity, that no weapon formed against them shall prosper, that he who diggeth a pit for them shall fall into the same himself, that no combination of wickedness shall have power to rise up and prevail over thy people upon whom thy name shall be put in this house. And if any people shall rise against this people, that thine anger be kindled against them. And if they shall smite this people, thou wilt smite them. Thou wilt fight for thy people as thou didst in the day of battle, that they may be delivered from the hands of all their enemies. We ask thee, Holy Father, to confound and astonish and to bring to shame and confusion all those who have spread lying reports abroad over the world against thy servants, if they will not repent when the everlasting gospel shall be proclaimed in their ears, and that all their works may be brought to naught and be swept away by the hail and by the judgments which thou wilt send upon them in thine anger, that there may be an end to the lyings and slanders against thy people. For thou knowest, O Lord, that thy servants have been innocent before thee in bearing record of thy name for which they have suffered these things. Therefore we plead before thee for a full and complete deliverance from under this yoke. Break it off, O Lord, break it off from the necks of thy servants by thy power, that we may rise up in the midst of this generation and do thy work. But deliver thou, O Jehovah, we beseech thee, thy servants from their hands, and cleanse them from their blood. O Lord, we delight not in the destruction of our fellow men, their souls are precious before thee. But thy word must be fulfilled. Help thy servants to say, with thy grace assisting them, thy will be done, O Lord, and not ours. We know that thou hast spoken by the mouth of thy prophet terrible things concerning the wicked in the last days, that thou wilt pour out thy judgment without measure. Therefore, O Lord, deliver thy people from the calamity of the wicked. Enable thy servants to seal up the law and bind up the thing that they are burning." The blessings in these verses is protection from evil, spiritual empowerment and victory, and deliverance from adversity. In section 109, verses 35 through 39, it states, "Let the anointing of thy ministers be sealed upon them with power from high. Let it be fulfilled upon them as soon as those on the day of Pentecost. Let the gift of tongues be poured out upon thy people, even the cloven tongues of fire as the interpretation thereof. And let thy house be fulfilled as with a rushing mighty wind with thy glory. Put upon thy servants the testimony of the covenant that when they go out and proclaim thy word, they may seal up the law and prepare the hearts of thy saints for all those judgments thou art about to send, and thy wrath upon the inhabitants of the earth because of their transgressions, that thy people may not faint in the day of trouble. And whatsoever city thy servant shall enter, and the people of that city receive their testimony, let thy peace and thy salvation be upon that city, that they may gather out that city the righteousness, that they may come forth to Zion, or to her stakes, the place of thine appointment, with songs of everlasting joy. And lastly, these blessings and these verses are divine present, covenant testimony, peace and salvation, the gathering to Zion in strength and trouble. If you have been to the house of the Lord, think about how these promises have been fulfilled in your life. Prayer is communication with Heavenly Father. Section 109 is a dedicatory prayer that was given to the prophet Joseph Smith by revelation. What do you learn about prayer from the section? For example, you might make note of what the prophet gave thanks for and what blessings he asked for. What else did he say in this prayer? As you study, you might evaluate your own communication with Heavenly Father. What did you learn about him and his son from this prayer? The prayer requests that the unrepentant and confounded, the saints gather the righteous to Zion, that the saints be delivered from future calamities. It also asks that all nations and peoples be prepared for the gospel, and that Israel, including the Jews and Lamanites, be redeemed. It also asks that the saints be crowned with glory and receive eternal salvation. Throughout all the blessings promised to the saints and to us throughout this section, it has shown me through scripture that the saints made many great sacrifices to build the Kirtland Temple. I even learned today that they would use their fine china that had been passed down through generations in the temple as decorations. I cannot imagine what it was like building a temple in the 1800s without any of the modern equipment we have now. The Lord can manifest himself to me in his house. As you read the descriptions of the Savior in Doctrine and Covenants 110, verses 1 through 10, ponder what these verses suggest about him. The veil was taken from our minds, and the eyes of our understandings were opened. We saw the Lord standing upon us, breastwork of the pulpit before us, and under his feet was paved a work of pure gold in color like amber. His eyes were as a flame of fire, the hair of his head was white like pure snow. His countenance shone above the brightness of the sun, and his voice was the sound of the rushing of great waters, even the voice of Jehovah saying, I am the first and the last. I am he who liveth and he who is slain. I am your advocate with the Father. Behold, your sins are forgiven. You are clean before me. Therefore, lift up your heads and rejoice. Let the hearts of your brethren rejoice, and let the hearts of all my people rejoice, who have with their might built this house to my name. For behold, I have accepted this house, and my name shall be here. And I will manifest myself to the people in mercy in this house. Yea, I will appear unto my servants and speak unto them with mine own voice, and my people will keep my commandments and do not pollute this holy house. Yea, the hearts of thousands and tens of thousands shall greatly rejoice in consequence of the blessings which shall be poured out and the endowment with which my servants have been endowed in this house. And the fame of this house shall spread to foreign lands. And this is the beginning of the blessing which shall be poured out upon the heads of my people. Even so, amen. How does Jesus Christ manifest himself or make himself known to you in his house? How does he help you know that he accepts your sacrifices? So I'm going to take this question more personally while also relating it to these verses. It really stands out to me that Christ says, I am the first and the last, I am he who liveth, and I am he who was slain. I am your advocate to the Father. This verse alone is how Christ makes himself known to me. He lives so that I can live, so that I can have a friend when I feel alone, so that I can receive comfort when I am stressed or going through a hard time, when I am nervous about getting into nursing school, like I am right now, I have been trying to turn to the Savior more because he personally knows how I feel, and he also knows that no matter what happens, I will be okay. Christ helps me know that he accepts my sacrifices by being my advocate to the Father. We are to rejoice when we are blessed by making sacrifices. The saints made sacrifices to build the Kirtland Temple, and we also make sacrifices. As young adults in today's world, sacrifices come in all shapes or forms, such as choosing not to drink tea, coffee, or alcohol, even if our friends do and or try to offer us some as well. Whether it is choosing to dress modestly or not working on Sundays, even though these sacrifices do not seem as big as the sacrifices the saints made, they are still seen big in the Lord's eyes. The Savior directs his work through priesthood keys. Just before Moses, Elias, and Elijah appeared in the temple to restore priesthood keys, Jesus Christ said, "This is the beginning of the blessing which shall be poured out upon the heads of my people." As we read verses 11 through 16, think about the blessings that the Savior is pouring out on you through the work directed by these keys. And this is section 110, verse 11. After this vision closed, the heavens were again opened unto us, and Moses appeared before us and committed unto us the keys of the gathering of Israel from the four parts of the earth, and the leading of the 10 tribes from the land of the north. How has the Lord blessed you and your family through the missionary efforts of his church? The Lord has blessed my family through the missionary efforts of the church by my brother going on his mission, and by two of my other brothers' desire to also serve a mission and be a part of the gathering of Israel. In verse 12, it states, "After this, Elias appeared and committed to the dispensation of the gospel of Abraham, saying that in us and our seed all generations after us should be blessed." How could the Lord bless you and the generations after you? Because of your covenants. The Lord can bless you in the generations after because of the covenants you make by having access to special love and mercy. This also makes me think of when my parents were getting divorced. Because my mom kept her covenants with the Lord, we were all blessed. I was blessed with my new dad, new siblings, a whole new family that I just couldn't imagine not being in my life today. Verses 13 through 16 states, "After this vision had closed, another great and glorious vision burst upon us, for Elijah the prophet, who was taken to heaven without tasting death, stood before us and said, 'Behold, the time has fully come, which was spoken of by the mouth of Malachi, testifying that he should be sent before the great and dreadful day of the Lord to come, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, lest the whole earth be smitten with a curse. Therefore, the keys of this dispensation are committed into your hands, and by this ye may know that the great and dreadful day of the Lord is near, even at the doors." Why do you think Heavenly Father wants you to be connected to your ancestors through temple ordinances? I believe that Heavenly Father wants me to be connected to my ancestors through temple ordinances so that when he does return to the earth, our families are sealed together, as well as other temple work being done for those who weren't able to have it done on earth. What connections do you see between these keys and our responsibilities in God's work of salvation and exaltation? The connections that I see between these keys and our responsibilities in God's work of salvation and exaltation is simple. As long as we are striving to be like Christ and follow in his footsteps, salvation and exaltation will follow. By living the gospel, caring for people in need, inviting all to receive the gospel, and uniting families for eternity. President Russell M. Nelson invited us to consider how your life would be different if priesthood keys had not been restored to the earth. Study President Nelson's message with that question in mind. And over this week, I challenge everyone to make a list of reasons that you're thankful that the Lord restored priesthood keys in the Kirtland Temple. All right, that is all for this week's episode. I hope that y'all all have a great week and also enjoy General Conference this weekend.